We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It's the Mile High Huddle podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen. With me, my fellow football priest, who you know, who you love, Zach Kelberman. Zach, first and foremost, I got to get your thoughts on what Bo Nix, who obviously the Oregon quarterback, has been linked to the Broncos in multiple ways throughout the offseason, not necessarily, Zach, due to anything the Broncos have done or said other than having met with him like they have all the quarterbacks, but for reasons we'll get into later in this conversation, he's been hotly linked to the Broncos throughout. And in an appearance, this is for everybody's sake, on the Robert Griffin III podcast, RG3 and the Ones, he was asked if he likes the idea of being coached by Sean Payton, to which he responded, did Bo Nix, quote, "That would be a blast playing for a coach like that who has been so important for the offensive game. He's known a lot for what he and Drew Brees did together. It was quick game, get the ball out, timing stuff that I love to do. That's what we did great," pardon me, "here at Oregon," close quote. Your thoughts, Zach?
I think Bo Nix is a very self-aware individual, Chad. I think he knows the right things to say, and I think he's authentic, and it comes out, and it's what makes coaches like Sean Payton so attracted to him is knowing how he can fit in, knowing who he's interviewing with, in this case, Payton, knowing what Payton's looking for, and just this is why he interviewed so well and why he was connected to the Broncos. And I think, and you think as well, we agree he might not be our plan A or plan B, but as a plan C, we feel pretty comfortable with him.
No doubt about it, guys. We got a lot to get into. I just want to give a couple quick hellos here. David, first that I see anyway on the StreamYard side, commenting in the chat on YouTube tonight. DTR's in the house. Kevin Gray's in the house early. William, I see a super from the Papa Bear. I see Riptide in the house. We're going to get to your supers. We got three. Well, let's grab one now. We don't want to make you wait any longer. The Papa Bear, thank you, big dog. We're twinners tonight, as oft we are when I choose, I don't know, maybe once a week I like to rock the Buckham shirt. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the supers. Saying good evening to everybody. Broncos country, Chad, Zach, Dylan, and Deacon Scott. Hashtag Nix or McCarthy. MHH for life, Buckham, Broncos for life. Thank you, bro. Scott is out tonight, probably tomorrow night too, and then he's back. There's a chance Scott will be back tomorrow night, but having, you know, speaking from recent experience, it's hard to kind of get into broadcast mode. And I want to put a microphone and a camera in front of me, Zach, when you're like traveling and rallying your family, you're on airplanes, you're going this and that, all of a sudden, boom, microphone. But he's a pro, so it wouldn't surprise me if he was down to be in the chat tomorrow night. But Nix or McCarthy is kind of the main analysis thing here from David, Zach, we can sink our teeth into. Which would you prefer?
I think I've been a McCarthy guy for a few months now. I mean, it's splitting hairs, picking bones as to who's a better fit for the Broncos system. I just think McCarthy has a little higher ceiling in the NFL. I think Sean Payton can do more. He's a little more athletic and a little better deep thrower, especially on the run. But again, if it is Nix, I would not be too unhappy about that. I think designing an offense around him based on his strengths and taking away his weaknesses could really work with Sean Payton.
Thank you, David. Appreciate you, big dog. We also have Taylor Christensen jumping in early. He says, and thank you, Taylor. He says, hey, Chad and Zach, I like Nix's commitment to Sean Payton. We could have our next long-term quarterback. We won't have to give up anything for him. Go Broncos, MHH for life. Yeah, bro. So that's one of the great things, Zach, about one of the many, I think, when you weigh the pros and cons, one of the big pros of the Bo Nix thing is a strong likelihood you don't have to trade up to land him. Now, what sneaks into that are the concerns that you might be overdrafting him or that you might be reaching. But when you are quarterback desperate, Zach, and you have a shot at a quarterback who is not only a great fit, but the most experienced from a starting perspective quarterback in the class, those teams, beggars can't be choosers. You kind of have to go, well, we're going to roll the dice on the potential for it being a little bit of a reach for the sake of our peace of mind and solving and filling the biggest hole on the roster as it stands.
It's definitely ideal not having to trade up and stay at 12 and preserve some precious draft capital. But I'm lost on that, because if you have to surrender capital for a guy, so be it. It's not like trading up for Riley Moss or Marvin Mims, Chad. You're talking about the most important position. And like you mentioned, the Broncos are desperate. So if they have to reach, if they have to overdraft someone, so be it. If Sean Payton thinks he's the guy, we won't even remember their draft slotting a few years from now.
Good point, Taylor. Appreciate you, big dog. A bona fide super chat superstar here at MHH. DTR has also become one of the bona fide members of the super chat superstar community. Yes, much love and respect. Really appreciate you, big dog. Saying, evening, MHH fam and Broncos country. Should Denver look to fill specific needs positions after round one, or should it be a hybrid of need and BPA? Broncos for life, MHH for life. Well, you know, here's the thing. You guys hear me say this. Longtime listeners of the show are going to go, yeah, Jensen. What's the next thing? Because you've heard this a million times from me. But, you know, it's very rare that there's a true, like, BPA pick, especially early on, because, you know, every draft pick, Zach, has to different degrees, right? There's the equation can edge more toward BPA on this pick, or it could edge a little bit more toward need, but there's a mixture of those two imperatives in every selection that is made. So with that disclaimer out of the way, I think really it comes down to, we know what our need positions are. Okay. We know what the biggest holes on the roster are. Once you get a quarterback, Zach, let's just assume for the sake of this super from DTR that the quarterback gets solved in round one. All right. And you didn't have to trade anything. So you have your third, you've got the what is it? You'll have seven more picks beyond round one as it stands, thanks to the Jerry Jeudy trade. What do you do? Do you go out and you just start trying to stockpile, fill the depth issues on the D line, because you got issues there. You got a little bit of depth questions on the O line. I like the starting five. We'll say starting four. We'll see what happens at the center position. But your thoughts here for DTR.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, you're right. It's best when the intersection of need and BPA meet. But the Broncos, if you throw a dart, you can land on a need for Denver. I mean, not just depth, Chad, but also starters. I mean, defensive end opposite Zach Allen or inside linebacker. I know they signed Cody Barton, but I'd like someone a little more athletically gifted there, a cornerback. They've kind of left alone, the Broncos have, positions that I think they're going to address and prioritize in the draft. Edge rusher being one, defensive end being one, cornerback being one, and center, you mentioned that. I think they'll maybe add a guy there. But yeah, I mean, they're going to address needs because they have so many, but I think they're going to stick to their board after round one, DTR, and take the players.
You know, over the weekend, I wrote up just kind of an update for Broncos fans, where things stand relative to the number of picks the Broncos currently are sitting on for 2024. And as I was writing it up, I got to a section of this article where I'm like, oh, you know, I was about to sing the praises of George Payton, you know, talking about how, hey, more darts you have, to quote him, to throw at the board, the better when you start getting into the later rounds. But before I started writing that, I had to kind of check myself and go, wait a minute. So I had to do a little bit of research, and I was unfortunately harshly reminded that he doesn't have any success, Zach, from the fifth round and beyond. Now, if, you know, the jury's out, obviously, on the 2023 class, it's too soon to go jump into any conclusions there. But like, if, for example, Alex Forsyth, last year's seventh round pick, goes on to start for the Broncos, even if he's just a replacement level starter. That would be the first mid to late round win George Payton has had as a GM. Yeah. He has had successes in the draft. They are all just so far in the premium rounds.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, and you're waiting on like the Matt Henningsons and the Owusu-Rikes, whatever is going to come of him, and the Delarian Turner Yells and the Skinners to step up and be contributors. And I think that's what this season's for, Chad. It's probably not going to be a playoff season. They're going to use it as a developmental year to see who can play and who can. And a lot of younger guys are going to get more reps than usual.
No doubt about it. You know, you see that a lot in the NBA where teams will openly tank, you know, from like the all-star break on, depending on how their fortunes are poised relative to playoff seeding. They'll openly tank. They don't care. You know, like there's a few teams doing it right now. Utah Jazz are one of them. And in those instances, they'll just shove the rookies and the young guys out on the court, veterans at the expense of the veterans, just to get them those reps and see what they have. Yeah. And there's some parallels to that for a rebuilding team. But in the case of the Broncos, they don't really have much of a choice. You know, so much of their roster right now is basically the young guys and the players they've drafted over the last, let's just say, 3 to 4 years. Jesse Galvin jumping in on a super. Thank you, big dog. He says, Raiders had a Bo. Now it's our turn to have one. Bo Jackson, indeed, spelled the same as well. There is that other kind of weirder spelling that's more like French, you know, B-E-A-U. Yeah. Anyway, Bo Jackson, legendary mythical figure, obviously. Unfortunate how his career was cut short, but there's a chance. Yeah, there's a good chance. We don't know yet, though. Here's the thing is, you know, so many of these stars, Zach, align from the outside looking in. It just seems like Bo Nix makes a lot of sense for the Broncos. But we don't necessarily know how Sean Payton views this guy. I mean, he doesn't put anything out into the media that he doesn't want out there floating around. And the only time he's ever going to let anything relative to the draft or who they're looking at signing or drafting slip out is if it's in the form of some kind of, you know, draft espionage, you know, misdirection, et cetera. We don't know necessarily how the Broncos are feeling about this dude, but it looks like a relative match from the outside looking in.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to make. There's so much misdirection and double agents at work this time of year. We really don't know how anyone feels about anyone. I mean, Bo Nix can say they had a good meeting, but if the Broncos draft Michael Penix or McCarthy, let's say Sean Payton can come out, Chad, and be like, we never liked Bo Nix or he wasn't high up on our board. And we don't really know until we know. But again, if they landed on Nix as their guy, and Sean, we trust.
Real quick, I got to double check here since we don't have Scott with us. I'm going to pull up shortly the Facebook and check on where things stand there. But Zach, before I do that, I got to get your take also. I mean, over the weekend, a couple different prospects, quarterback prospects that the Broncos have met with, kind of going public with some thoughts on the Broncos, and one in particular, Spencer Rattler from South Carolina, who's kind of viewed as a, you know, probably the earliest you could expect to see him go is like round two, kind of viewed more as a round three guy. But he was on the Up and Adams show, right? Kay Adams. And he was asked there about the pre-draft process and specifically which team he kind of had to prepare for the most. And Rattler responded thusly, quote, "Probably Denver. With their QB quiz and what they did for the install, it was a pretty cool thing, but definitely had to study up on that, but did a great job with it," he says, close quote. So Sean Payton also making an impression on Spencer Rattler.
And this is the second prospect now to say they've been put through the ringer by Payton. I think it was Michael Penix that was shown a bunch of bad plays that he had in college and kind of asked to explain and defend himself from that. It might have been Jaden Daniels, but the point is, and I made this point on Thursday's podcast, the Broncos are doing it differently, obviously. And when Sean Payton said that they're happy that they're going through the evaluation because he feels like they do it better than the average bear in the NFL, we all thought it was bluster and ego talking. Maybe there's something to it. And that's why I'm fortunate that Sean Payton, Chad, is leading this charge.
You know, there's definitely some hubris to it, but I don't doubt it. You know, some people say, I think it was I think it was Julius Caesar who said, "It's only hubris if I'm wrong." But in this case, I don't think you have to be proven wrong in order for something to be considered hubris. I agree with Sean Payton. I think he's one of the most qualified dudes to scout a quarterback class in the draft and expertly, through a very educated lens, make the right decision on a quarterback, and then not only make the decision, but then also be the guy to, all right, under the wing, here we go, develop them. Exactly. Gary Palmer, the GLP, one of our OG mythical Mount Rushmore super chat superstars in the house. Love you, big dog. He says, "Hi, Chad and Zach. I'm waiting to see which way the draft falls, crossing fingers and toes that it goes our way." Well, I'm curious, Gary, and amen to that, my dog. I'm curious what you hope or your definition of it going our way is. Like, are you wanting the Broncos to trade up? Are you wanting a quarterback round one? Which quarterback do you want them trading back and still trying to take whatever is the best quarterback available later on? Let us know in the chat, big dog. But yeah, obviously, Zach, we're still waiting for some of these dominoes to fall.
Yeah, I don't know who Gary wants. We can probably debate that. But in my mind, I've lowered the my expectations and the barometer so low. As long as they come out of day one with the quarterback, I don't care at pick 3 or pick 32. As long as they get a quarterback that Sean Payton likes, that draft will be a success for the Broncos.
Gary, good to see you, big dog. Really appreciate you. Let us know what it means to you, the draft going our way. George Fox throwing down, pardon me, some stars on Facebook. Always appreciate it, my friend. It's another great way to help us keep the lights on. He says, what do you hear on us trading Garrett Bowles to Green Bay for 3 picks, one being their first rounder?
No way.
Zach, what have you heard on this?
I have not heard this, George. If you can refer us to where the source of this rumor came from. It would not surprise me if the Broncos are dangling Bowles in trade talks. It would not surprise me if Bowles is dealt on draft day or day 2, but he's not being traded for a first round pick. There is no chance, maybe a conditional third, but no chance the Broncos are getting a first for him.
So a quick cursory Google showed me here, Zach, that John Bueller of FanSided proposed the Broncos ship Garrett Bowles to the Green Bay Packers for 3 2024 draft picks. In this hypothetical proposal, Broncos would receive the Packers' first round pick, which would be number 25 overall, their second round pick, and a sixth rounder in this year's draft. There is no way in HE double hockey sticks Garrett Bowles is worth that. So I don't know what the homie was smoking there. All due respect to him.
The good stuff.
Best case scenario, Zach, is like best case is just simply a day two pick. And the biggest reason why is it's not, Zach, that Garrett Bowles, you know, is not a quality left tackle in the league now. He is. But the problem is he entered the league quite a bit older than the average rookie back in 2017. My dog is about to turn 32. He's about to turn 32, and he's kind of, you know, as far as his the way he's viewed, Zach, around the league, he's kind of just, you know, average starter, really good run blocker, but can get you into hot water and critical situations as a pass blocker.
Yes, he can. And he also has a pretty high salary cap number. You mentioned his age, Chad. I mean, a cap number of $20 million for 2024. It's also a contract year, so you'd have to give him a new deal. And I like Garrett Bowles. I think he's a serviceable starter at left tackle. He's not nearly worthy of a first-round pick. I'd love it, though, for sure, obviously.
I would too, but good looking out, George. We love it. I mean, we love the scouring of every little possible Broncos morsel. So as always, keep that kind of thing coming, big dog. I want to grab this from William James across the pond. He says, morning guys, London calling. I hear that riff in my head right now. The Clash, London calling. For you two, who do you think at number 12 or trade back? Should we get a quarterback now? We're 3 weeks away. I think Knicks is the sensible choice with a squad that hasn't ranked well so far. Well, look, for me, Zach, this is one of those questions that has to be qualified a little bit in order for me to answer, which is like, who do the Broncos love? Like, if you have, let's say, as many as six quarterbacks that could go in the first round this year, when you go through Knicks and Michael Penix Jr., which of those six do the Broncos actually view as not only a fit, but like bona fide franchise guy? Because that really answers the question. For me, I see, I know a lot of people are goo-goo gaga over Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, those three. And there's a lot to like, obviously, about all three of them. But all three of those guys, in one way or another, scare me a little bit. You get to, and it's really weird because this is a view of mine, Zach, that shocker, as more information comes to light, opinions change, but it's evolved over the offseason. For me, it's really McCarthy, Nix, and Penix is really, I've really warmed to this cat. So like where I used to say automatically, hey, you know, it looks like the bona fide guys kind of stop at McCarthy. So you got to trade up if you want one of the bona fide guys. I'm no longer saying that, dude. I think there's a good chance you could hang tight at 12, take a Nix, take a Penix if you wanted to, but Nix specifically, and have your young franchise quarterback to groom behind or to groom under Sean Payton.
Yeah, you mentioned the top six, and there's I'm just playing the odds here. Statistically, there's a decent chance that one of those guys will fall to the Broncos at 12. They don't have to trade up if they don't want to, and they don't necessarily have to trade back. The ideal, we've been saying this for weeks, months, the ideal is to move back and pick up a second or pick up a third or whatever and still get a quarterback, but that is not guaranteed if they do that. There's a high likelihood, but it's not guaranteed. You want to be guaranteed that you're coming out of the first round, Chad, with a quarterback. So just stay at 12 and take your guy.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Unique Prep, and we know who this is. Smouse is officially in the house. What's going on, Zachary? Hope you're doing well, big dog. So good to see you. This is an OG. He goes all the way back to the beginning of the live version of the MHH pod. So great to see you, my friend. He says, love you, MHH. We love you right back. You know this, Zach. Because of you, I finally found my calling, and I'm making a true difference because of my channel. That's awesome. Great to hear, dude. Yeah. And I got to tell you, you know, those of you who know the true OGs in our community that go back, you know, the Super Chat Superstar segment that we had with Zach, I want to say, Zach, that was probably like 2020, I want to say, somewhere in there,
yeah.
Was one of the most impactful, important segments we've ever had. And without, I mean, a lot of you know Zachary quite well, but he's faced some immense obstacles in his life. And so for him to be succeeding on something that is a dream of his and his calling and doing the YouTube thing and the streaming thing, it is just a phenomenal, phenomenal blessing and success. And I kind of get a little emotional about it. I'm really happy for you, big dog. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, we appreciate the compliment, Zachary, but you've been putting the work in and you've been making your channel grow. So keep crushing it. We'll keep watching and we appreciate you seeing you in each and every podcast.
It's been a minute since I dipped in on the channel, so I'll go check you out and see what the latest is. But really happy to hear this, my friend. George, we got George. We need to grab Gary, who's saying, Zach, you nailed it. I'm good with whatever Sean Payton wants, but getting is not guaranteed, right? So, like, I do. I mean, I'm with still that hashtag in Sean Payton we trust. How he handled Russ did not dissuade me from that general position, Zach, and philosophy. Like, if he trades back and takes Michael Penix, you know, I'm not going to question it. Honestly, I'm going to like wait and see what happens because I feel like he knows what he's looking for in a quarterback for his scheme.
Yeah, Gary, the only way it's not really guaranteed is if you move back and if you roll the dice. If Sean Payton wants Bo Nix at 12, let's say for sake of conversation, just take him at 12 and guarantee that you get your guy. The question becomes, though, is this guy it? Was Sean Payton right? Should they have taken somebody else? We'll know that, you know, in a few years, but we have to, in the meantime, like Chad said, and Sean, we trust.
Indeed. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate you, big dog. Okay, Zach. So tonight we got, you know, Sunday nights we end up, because of family stuff and whatnot, running a little bit later than we normally do, as you guys well know by now. We got a later start even than usual. So we'll probably keep tonight relatively tight. Any burning topics, anything we've missed so far in the conversation you guys want us to get to, get it in the chat, and we'll be sure to grab it before we dip on out of here. But, you know, Ostendorf here, got to risk it for the biscuit. Another way to say that, no risk it, no biscuit.
Yep.
It really just depends, dude. Like, if you're convinced only one guy is a franchise quarterback for your team in this class, and his name is, you know, Williams, Daniels, you, first of all, you're not getting into range for Williams. That's not happening. Probably even not even two or three. Like, I've said this before, that you never know, even though all three of those teams are quite quarterback desperate from the outside looking in. Oftentimes a team will go, no, we're smarter than everybody else. We're going to go ahead and take the best, you know, left tackle, or we're going to take the best edge guy or defender, whatever, dropping a quarterback a little bit farther. It won't shock me, Zach, if one of those teams kind of bucks expectation and does that, but I'm not expecting it. I'm expecting it to go 1, 2, 3. So yeah. If you want, I mean, honestly, McCarthy, unless it's McCarthy, you don't really need to trade up, because the rest of those guys are probably already spoken for. And there's a good chance too, Zach, that Jim Harbaugh's prediction, you know, comes to fruition when he said not too long ago, after taking the job in LA as head coach of the Chargers, that not only is JJ McCarthy the best quarterback in this class, he'll end up being the first quarterback drafted, which if that happens, I will literally take my hat off, get on my hands and knees, and like bow down to the prognostication wizardry, Zach, of Jim Harbaugh.
I would ask him tomorrow's lottery numbers because obviously he has a prescient ability. You know, that's why I've seen a lot of Broncos fans plant their flags over the months of what quarterback they want. And it's, you know, it's obviously okay to like a certain prospect more than another or have an opinion, but it doesn't really matter who we all want. It's who Sean Payton wants. And that's why I've kind of lowered my barometer to the extent of if it's Michael Penix, it's Michael Penix. I'm not quite there yet, Chad, on Spencer Rattler saying that, or, you know, definitely not Michael Pratt or Joe Milton. But and when it comes to the top six, if Sean Payton wants that guy in round one, I am perfectly okay. You know, far be it for me to give him permission to draft a quarterback, but that's how the mindset of Broncos country should be. He's getting paid the money. It's his team, his operation, full autonomy. If he likes a guy, we have to roll with it.
From the reticuli quadrant of the Zebulon galaxy, we've got Kevin Lynn jumping in to say, I'll be amazed if four guys go in the top 10. Quarterbacks, obviously. Normally, I would say that too, bro. Honestly, like I normally would be like, yeah, I'll be surprised. But this year is a little bit different. Like, no, I think media has kind of learned their lesson. You know, when they tabbed the 2018 quarterback class, the Hall of Fame class, you know, like nothing compares, first of all, to the 83 class because of Elway, Kelly, and Marino all coming from the first round of that draft. But 2018, you've got some stunning successes, Zach, that came out of that class, but enough failures that they're kind of like, nah, we're going to not necessarily call. But this is probably the deepest quarterback class since 2018 in terms of the number of guys projected from the outside looking in going in the first round. And if they're going in the first round, you know, probably four guys. I do think four guys, there's a good chance. Like if you said, hey, bet a mortgage payment on whether four quarterbacks are going in the top 10 this year.
I would.
I probably would bet a mortgage payment on it. Like it's more likely to me than not.
I mean, yeah, Caleb Williams definitely going top 10. Jaden Daniels definitely going top 10. Drake May, most definitely going top 10. So he's basically saying that he'd be amazed if JJ McCarthy went top 10. And I wouldn't be amazed. The desperate need for a quarterback always, you know, takes their value much higher and teams don't really care what they have to give up. Look what the Vikings are getting in position to do, Chad. They are going to move up for someone. Could be McCarthy, could be Drake May, but I would not be surprised or amazed at all if four guys go top 10.
Adriano, hold tight for just one second. I was about to grab your super, but before I do that, this conversation has triggered something. So everybody knows, or you should know anyway, Chris Sims, right? Former Southpaw Broncos quarterback. Yes, 2009 it was under the McDaniels regime, but he did spend a year in Denver, son of former Super Bowl champion quarterback Phil Sims. He does the NBC Sports thing. He's a commentator alongside what's his name, Florio, on Pro Football Talk. And you know, this is just another take, Zach, right? But when it comes from a former quarterback and it comes from somebody as plugged in to all the sources as Chris Sims, I do take it seriously. Do I take it as gospel, like this is the book? Not necessarily, but I do take it seriously. And he said on Twitter last week, quote, I thought, because obviously all the pro days, yeah, the combine, then you have all the pro days and whatnot that have been wrapping up. And he said, quote, I thought that Michael Penix Jr. and Drake May's pro days really showed a contrast in the quarterbacks. Penix is a machine throwing it over and over. May loses control of his throws more than any of the top quarterbacks in consideration. Penix is being underrated. He should be a top 20 pick. That's according to Chris Sims. Zach, what do you think about that? Could two things, Drake May's stock be on the decline slightly? Like, he's definitely going to be a first round pick, but like, as far as bona fide top three guy, could you see him dropping? And then what do you make of his comments on Penix?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com.
That's BlueNile.com.
I don't know that the 2 points he's trying to make there are mutually exclusive. I mean, he might be right that Michael Penix is getting underrated. It doesn't mean that Drake May is overrated, though. I mean, Drake May is a fantastic prospect in his own right, and Chris Sims should know better than anyone. It comes down to what system these quarterbacks fall in. That's why Bo Nix, I think, would be better for Denver than the average other team with a coach not suited to run what Sean Payton likes to run. So I'm with you, Chad. I've warmed up to Michael Penix. Definitely not my top guy, QB1, but there's a lot to like about him as well. Lots to like about Drake May. This is a really good top-heavy quarterback class.
The one thing that keeps me from fully believing that Sean Payton's like in on Penix is he like lost sleep, maybe lost some weight last year over Russell Wilson's like stubborn, utter refusal to throw the ball over the middle.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't put Penix necessarily on that same level, but he does kind of have a problem with that. And looks to make a system run the way it needs to run, especially a kind of a little bit slightly more advanced passing scheme. Not last year's Sean Payton offense. I'm talking traditionally. You need someone who's not only not, you know, gun shy of throwing over the middle, but who can do so, Zach, with aplomb and accuracy. And then we'll grab Adriano.
Yeah, Michael Penix has a cannon, but I don't think Sean Payton, you need a quarterback with a cannon to efficiently operate his scheme. Drew Brees didn't have the strongest arm in the world, but he was so accurate. He stayed on time. He knew where to go with the ball. And him and Sean Payton were so simpatico with their wants and their needs. I'm not saying that Bo Nix is going to be Drew Brees, but there's a lot of, from the mental processing standpoint between the ears, there's a lot to like about him.
Adriano, thank you for the super chat, my friend. He says, I did quite a few NFL draft simulations with me as the Broncos, and I've tried to trade up for JJ McCarthy, number 8 through 9. What's the possibility of this happening? It's possible. It's definitely possible that Zachy McCarthy falls and he's there at 8. I don't think he'll be there at 9. I think some team will, if he's still on the board, some team will move up with Atlanta at 8, just because it's such an obvious trade partner. They're not really in the first round QB market anymore, thanks to the Kirk Cousins thing. So the possibility of JJ being there, I think, is solid. I would probably err on him going sooner than 8, but it's plausible. So then it's Broncos trading up. Zach, is that really plausible? Is it possible? Yes, but is it plausible? Those are two different things.
That's where I was going to do. I was going to break it up into two separate scenarios here. It's definitely possible he falls to 8. I don't know that it's less possible that the Broncos trade up to 8. It's really who beats the Falcons to the punch, or who wows them with the best offer. And right now, I'd have to believe that'd be Minnesota with their 2 first-round picks this year compared to what the Broncos can do with their lacking draft capital. It's definitely a non-zero chance, Chad. I mean, I could see Sean Payton moving hell and earth to try to get JJ McCarthy if he's the guy, and he'll be on the phone with Atlanta. But if Atlanta finds a better deal out there, could be the Raiders, it could be the Vikings, it could be another team, they're going to take it over Denver's.
Let's grab Jesse here. Jumping in again. Thank you, Jesse. Number 2 tonight. Do you think our war room does simulated draft for practice? Guaranteed. Yeah. Guaranteed. Because, you know, they have their board, they have their priorities, and just like anything, you know, you want to rep that out a few times to get to really hone it and find, because you come across different situations, even in simulations, Zach, where you're forced to make different decisions based on what your priorities are. And if you haven't repped some of those and got your mind thinking as a group, as a collective, it's going to hold you back a little bit and maybe even cost you on draft day. So yeah, they use, and I know this, they do use simulations. Now, do they use the, you know, Pro Football Focus one? Do they use the PFR one? Like, I don't know. They probably just have their own thing, but I also wouldn't surprise me, Zach, if they did use one of those just for the kind of randomness of how it might work out for them.
Yeah, they do simulations, and they do them again and again and again and again. And I know this because I think it was the Bradley Chubb pick in 2018. John Elway came out and said that in 10,000 simulations or something like that, Bradley Chubb did not fall to us at 5. So that's why they took him. So yeah, they definitely practice this for weeks, if not months on end, and they know exactly where they want to go. The problem is, Chad and Jesse, the draft never shakes out like a simulation, and there's always a curveball they don't anticipate or can't anticipate.
Hey, this is a good point by Kurt on Facebook, by the way, talking about, like, you know, the best quarterback class of all time. You got to look at, what was this? This was 2004, right? Oh, yeah. Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Big Ben in the first round. You think Philip Rivers gets in the Hall of Fame, Zach? Big Ben's a lock.
Eli's a lock too.
You think Eli's a lock?
He beat Brady twice, two rings because of that. Yeah, he's going to make it solely because, and his last name as well. Philip Rivers to me is the Hall of very, 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 very good. I feel like if he won a ring, he'd be a no-brainer. He has the counting stats, but he doesn't have the titles. But we'll see.
I don't know, man. If you're going to put down Dan Fouts in the Hall, Dan Fouts has been in consideration. Is he in the Hall? I got to check myself. He's in the Hall. So if you're going to put Dan Fouts in the Hall, obviously the first prolific quarterback the Chargers ever had back in the day, 73-ish through like 87. Philip Rivers should be in consideration, but the one thing that Fouts has on his resume that, say, Rivers doesn't, and by the way, I agree with you on Eli, he's getting in the Hall.
Yeah.
What he had, Fouts, is his prolific production as a passer, Air Coryell, that system back in the day. It was during a run first, still kind of, it was revolutionary. First of all, he was in a scheme that was helping to revolutionize the way offense was executed and designed and all that in the NFL. So he did have that going for him. Philip doesn't really have that, but a lot of years of just consistent success. Obviously no ring, kind of came close 1 year, but I don't know. That's a good point. So two of the three, if you get three Hall of Famers though in one class, then you got to put them on the same pedestal as 83.
Philip Rivers is such an interesting case though, because I could see it going either way. I mean, I don't think I'd put him in solely because of the lack of rings, but I looked it up and he has the sixth most career passing yards, over 63,000 from 2004 to 2020. The guy put in work. There's a really interesting video for anyone who watches Barry McCockiner's channel and real YouTuber about how unlucky Chad Philip Rivers got during his time in San Diego and LA. With he had top ranked defenses and then they collapsed in the playoffs, and he played the AFC title game in 2007, I think, with a torn ACL, something like that. So he could have been there. He was on the precipice. I just think he falls a little short.
I remember that game. Wasn't that the game too? LT, LaDainian Tomlinson got dinged up. What am I? I might be confusing a situation. I think I am, but he's a baller. I hated him for the longest time, Philip Rivers. But it was really that 3 or so years of the Cutler era that my hatred of Philip Rivers ran strong, because that was just such a good rivalry, and he and Jay Cutler would jaw at each other. And I'll never forget that win. I think it was week two of the 2008 season, where they finally did the Broncos get the Philip Rivers Chargers monkey off their back, and they beat him after kind of being mopped. Not quite like it's been with the Chiefs over all those years, or even the Raiders of late, but you know, the Chargers had their way with the Broncos for a couple of 2-3 games, whatever it was, and finally Cutler got his win. That was a great time. But thank you for bringing that up, Kurt. Fun conversation starter too, my dog. Riptide jumping in. Thank you, big dog. He says, I like Chris Sims, but he's wrong at times. His Zach Wilson take aged terribly. He falls in love with arm strength. Zach.
I honestly, Riptide, I don't know much about Chris Sims. I don't watch that program too often. And I do see the things that he gets wrong solely because, and I was going to say this before about his comment about Penix and comparing him to Drake May and kind of taking down Drake May to build Michael Penix up. He's one of those analysts that throws a lot of hot takes at the wall to see what sticks. And that's not where I go for my analysis. I don't really read my cues from someone like that. So everyone's going to get things wrong. I mean, I like Zach Wilson coming out of the time too. I didn't think he bust to this extent. Pause. But everyone gets them wrong. Everyone gets them right.
It's also a good cautionary tale that, you know, there are very few quarterback prospects. They exist. They're there. They're out there. But it's hard. You could be an elite quarterback prospect, but if you land in a unfortuitous spot in the draft, like the Jets, for example. And I'm not trying to throw shade on the Jets. It's that just the organizational incompetence. Like, when's the last time, if Mark Sanchez is like your best success story of the modern era at quarterback, I'm not even trying to clown him. I'm just saying it kind of shows you, you know, it's emblematic of the organizational chaos. And a lot of that has to do, of course, with its, their owner and whatnot. But if Zach Wilson goes, you know, a lot of different places, Zach, it might have been different. But turns out, I think he was a lot more immature than the NFL may have realized.
Yeah, it was Mark Sanchez and Vinny Testaverde, you know,
captain. Vinny.
Yeah, Vinny Vici. You know, Riptide, to your point, though, about arm strength, like, again, you know, we can all love certain things about certain quarterbacks. Sims obviously loves arm strength. It doesn't really matter what Chris Sims likes if it's what Sean Payton wants. And again, I'm of the mind that you don't need a cannon, an elite arm strength-wise, to work Sean Payton's system. You need something functional in the intermediate and deeper areas of the field.
Yeah, so just to piggyback on that, Jeremy Sean jumping in. Good to see you, bro. Saying, remember, Zach Wilson went to the Jets. Also, Sims has Bo Nix as QB3 and Drake May as QB6. So much for arm strength being everything, right? So that's one of the knocks on Chris Sims, as Riptide kind of you know, touched on there, is that he just gets blinded by the quarterbacks with the big arm. You can't really say that about Bo Nix. But at the same time, Zach, it's not like he has like a, it's not like his arm is weak. It's just, right. I would say it's an average throwing arm. And honestly, before we ever started having these conversations for, you know, the Broncos looking at first round quarterbacks, I mean, it's been all the way since Drew Locke, you know, 2019-ish, since we were really kind of talking about round one quarterbacks. But before this, if you would have said, hey, describe to me Drew Brees' arm, I would have said, yeah, average NFL arm. It was everything else, especially between the years, that made him special. And whatever is special about Nix, it's the same type of thing, right? And obviously, there's no way of knowing. You can't even guesstimate whether or not he's ever going to sniff or come close to approaching what Drew Brees did in the league. But there are a lot of similarities.
This is kind of what I was talking about, though, with throwing hot takes against the wall. I mean, apparently, if Sims has Nix as QB3 and Drake May as QB6, it's one thing to like Michael Penix. It's another thing to like Bo Nix, but you have to call a spade a spade. And Drake May is a higher and a better quarterback prospect. The consensus will tell you that, Chad. So for him to go against the grain, that's where the red flags go up with me when it comes to analysis.
Let's grab Mike Edel. So good to see you, big dog. Thank you for the super tonight. He says, good evening, Chad and Zach in Broncos country. How many first round picks is it going to take to move into the top five? Whew. Well, if you're going to make a deal with the Arizona Cardinals, Zach, at four, what's it going to take? What do you think?
It depends if PS2 is included in the deal or not, because he's worth at least one first round pick. So if he's not included, if it's just picks, it's going to be at least two, Mike, to move up from 12 to the top five. And it might be even more than that. But I would say two first rounders, a couple second rounders, even though the Broncos don't have one this year, and a third. It's going to be the Russell Wilson trade in terms of draft capital minus the players, or might include the players too.
Yeah. In the NFL, you can trade up to 3 years. Counting your current year. So you can trade for the Broncos, you could trade your 2024 first, 25 first, and 26 first. Getting into the top four, it really just depends too on how much demand is there. So how much is the Cardinals phone ringing, right, about that pick? Because where there's demand, then the price is driven up, right? That's just like simple supply and demand principles. But I think the floor is probably two first-round picks. So your pick this year, your first-round pick next year, and at least a minimum of one second-round pick. You could mitigate some of that if they wanted to talk about Patrick Surtain, and that is if you wanted to talk about Patrick Surtain, right, and you're the Broncos, but it'd be pricey. So you got to really feel confident. Obviously, you don't make that trade, Zach, unless you do, but you could also just stay at 12. And you could take Bo Nix, you could take Michael Penix. But if you believe they're on a secondary pedestal to whoever it is you're after, in this case, probably JJ McCarthy, then, you know, that might keep you up at night. But if you feel like it's, you might like McCarthy more than you do Nix per se. Okay. But within the structure of, you know, cost, it makes more sense. You like Nix enough to where it's like, yeah, I don't think there's that big of a gap that would justify us giving up that much capital to trade up for McCarthy. So we're going to go ahead, hold down the fort at 12, and we're going to go like this, that Nix is still there. And if he's not, then we'll consider Penix. If not that, then we'll trade back and maybe take Penix there. Or we'll just say, hey, Spencer Rattler, we're going to take you in the third round. Let's hope you don't go in round two.
Well, here's the silver lining to this. If you want to move up, you know, to two or three, where a team like Washington or New England knows that you want a quarterback, they're going to bend you over a barrel, like Chad was talking about, or try their hardest to. With the Cardinals, their GM already came out and said that we're open for business, and he said there's a big blinking neon sign. So he lost a little bit of the leverage, I feel like, Chad, to bend another team over said barrel. If the Broncos want to move up into the top five, Arizona is your best bet. Maybe they don't hold three first-round picks as their ransom for that selection. Maybe they'll take two. Maybe they'll work with you, but it's going to be a pretty penny no matter how you dice it.
Keith Brugman in the house on Facebook. And by the way, guys, we're at 46 minutes, so we're about out of time here. We got a couple in the hopper, and then we'll probably say goodnight. Keith says, gents, if both teams stay at their positions, talk about the comparison that we'll be talking about between the Broncos at 12 and the Raiders at 13. Thanks to you both. Well, I mean, both are in the market for a quarterback, ostensibly. I mean, I don't think, what's his name? O'Connell. I don't think he did enough, you know, in the same sense, even though he was a rookie last year and Stidham wasn't. But similar to Stidham, I don't think there was enough there to preclude the Raiders from realizing that they need a franchise quarterback. So, other than that, I'm not sure what you mean about the comparison. Like, if the Broncos don't take a quarterback there, the Raiders probably take that quarterback. That's about where it's at. I mean, however, there is one thing that could throw a wrench in what I'm saying here, Zach, and that is that the new head coach, Antonio Pierce, is a defensive guy, you know, and sometimes defensive guys, they want their defensive prospect or whatever, but do you do that at the expense of the most important position? If you have a shot at it, probably not.
Vegas also has your boy now, Chad, Gardner Minshew, but I don't think he's going to.
That's true.
I don't know that he's going to preclude them from moving up if they can get their guy. Supposedly, I mean, again, this is all mixed misdirection and lying season. Supposedly, Antonio Pierce, who you were talking about, is desperate for a quarterback and loves Jaden Daniels. Now, whether they move up, I don't know, but they're going to make a play for it. And that's why I'm saying if you pass on a quarterback at 12, no matter who it is, Nix or Penix, there is a good chance, decent chance, that the Raiders could take him at 13. And why risk that? It makes no sense to me.
It's going to be fun to see how it shakes out, Keith. Riptide jumping in to say, Nix, JJ, Daniels. These are the guys I'd do backflips for. Well, hey, dude, I'm glad to hear that, like, if the Broncos stood pat at 12 and took Nix, you'd be stoked on that. I would. I really would. I would be happy. There's a lot to like about this kid. I where did I find that from Jeremy? He had a nice, let's see. Yeah. So Jeremy's saying Nix will have even better arm strength with improved footwork, right? So you get him in the right coaching staff or get him with any NFL coaching staff. That's one of the first things they're going to attack. But here's what it is. One crazy thing Bo said to Sims, he did not start playing tackle football till seventh grade and was the starting quarterback on varsity in eighth grade. That's unreal. True. I mean, it shows, you know, there's something about him. And you also got to throw into that equation as far as the pros and cons of Bo Nix. On the pros, we just touched on a couple. You also got to throw in the most experienced guy when you talk about the first round quarterbacks. If you want a guy that has some sample size to give you confidence in whatever your evaluation on him is, that's the safest, you know, example. But that also speaks to his experience and ability to play in big games and all that stuff, which can give you confidence as a team. Plus, we know that Sean Payton, Zach, when he's asked about the first thing for a quarterback, what is it? For a quick processor, right?
Yep.
And that's something that Bo Nix has in spades. And he proved that at Oregon, especially with the way they ran their system. So there's just a lot of different little things, plus all the comparisons with Drew Brees. Like, it's really kind of uncanny.
It is an insane stat, Jeremy. And also, when you consider the fact of how many times Bo Nix changed offensive coordinators or careers at the collegiate level, what he's been through, and still puts out the tape like he does. So it makes him a very intriguing prospect. And to your other point about improving his arm strength, it's true. But also, Sean Payton is going to scheme open a lot of receivers and weapons for the quarterback, for Bo Nix in this case, receivers and weapons that Russell Wilson missed, Chad, because he never targeted the middle of the field, and Bo Nix could work his damage there. You're muted.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. My bad. Guys, I think we've landed on all the main topics that we wanted to tonight. So we got a couple messages for you. Then we're going to dip out, but we've got a big announcement / reminder about tomorrow before you leave. So stick around.
That was another great installment of the MHH podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH pod. You can also follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad and Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, who's coming back this week, at Scout Kennedy. If you haven't done so, please drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can cop some merch at the merch store, mhhmerch.com, if you haven't already. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, make sure you're giving your football priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, y'all, please, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really helps us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
So before I shout out the great Super Chat superstars and supporters tonight, I got to remind you that tomorrow evening, Monday night, April the 8th, we have the first Super Chat superstar segment of 2024 with Michaela Parker joining us. It's going to be dope. So look forward to that tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. obviously, Mountain. And a shout out to the Papa Bear, David McElrath, Taylor Christensen, DTR, Jesse Galvin, Gary Palmer, Unique Prepping, that's Zachary Smouse, George Fox, Adriano, let's see, Riptide, Mike Edel, we got Keith Brugman, we got, I already said Riptide. Love you guys. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you. Can't wait to see what tomorrow brings relative to the news and stuff we'll get to break down, but it's going to be a fun, fun podcast, so be there tomorrow night.
Yes, sir. We'll see you tomorrow night. Have a great, great rest of your Sunday and your weekend. Take care, and as always, go Broncos.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.